Thank you, Paul, and thank you, worship team. Do you know when Paul was talking just now and being thankful for Australia, do you know that Australia is the 12th happiest place on earth? I know some of you would probably want to check who are the 11, which are the 11 countries that have won us in being happiest. But truly, we are really on the map as the 12th happiest country, of course, for all the great benefits that we have as a nation, for the freedom, for the sense of safety. Indeed, Australia is a beautiful, beautiful place to be in at this time. Huh? God is so good to us, and God has a plan and a purpose for all of us here. Amen? Amen. Today, we're going to continue with the book of Matthew. Pastor Aaron has spoken on Matthew 1 and 2, and if you remember the title, it was Walking with Jesus. And today we're going to continue to walk with Jesus in Matthew 3 and see what the Lord has for us there. So let's maybe ask the Lord, not maybe. I'm influenced by my grandson. He always says maybe, maybe. Let's now pray and ask the Lord to bless His word so that we can be enriched in every way by what the Lord has reserved for us today. Father, we thank You so much for so much of fruitfulness in Your word. And like what Ivan has led us just now, that Lord, the blood of Christ speaks a better word. And yes, Lord, You will command a word to be spoken for our fruitfulness. So this morning, we await for You, dear Lord, to do a work in us, so that, Lord, as we receive Your word, we will experience a fruitfulness in our lives even right now. We give You thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this is the Gospel according to Matthew. And I want you to turn to Matthew 3, and this will be a translation according to Kara. So I want you to, as you look through, I won't be reading word for word in your translation, but I'll be reading to you my translation, and you check for me to see whether I am on point, okay? Of course, let your imagination go a little bit wilder, like what we have been told by Pastor Aaron last week, to be able to imagine. So Matthew 3, go there, and I'm going to read to you Matthew 3 according to my translation. If you were there that day at River Jordan, you would have to jostle your way to the spot where the baptism was. The place was jam-packed with pilgrims and visitors from Jerusalem, Judea, and the region of Jordan. The people were curious to find out more about this man clothed in camel hair with a leather belt on his waist and who ate locusts and wild honey. Have you lost me? Are you still there in Matthew 3? You found that part about eating wild honey and locusts? Okay, that's good. Most of them couldn't see his tiny frame. All they could hear was his booming voice, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." If Isaiah the prophet was alive then, he would have shouted, "I could hear the voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" Right at the shore of River Jordan, there was crying and laughing, splish, splash, splosh. You definitely don't get those words there, but that's why I say use your imagination, all right? Splish, splash, splosh. As they confessed their sins, they were dunked into the river and baptized by John. John the Baptist noticed the Sadducees and Pharisees who had the outward form of righteousness but were far from God in their hearts. They thought they were doing right, but they kept doing wrong. They kept circling in their folly and failure, yet they were too proud to confess their sins and repent. John shouted out to them that he could not help them. They need a clean out from inside out, and John the Baptist is not the man to do it. But there is one who could baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. You got that bit in your translation. Baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. That's the Lord Jesus. He is more powerful, more worthy. His name is Jesus. He immerses his followers into the Spirit of God himself, not just in water. He alone can fill every void with his very Spirit. He saturates the human soul with perfect love and the very character of God. He has the power to cleanse and purify the inside of men and women. His fire takes away all the unclean things. The refining fire of Jesus removes every overwhelming sense of uncleanness, and he can satisfy every overwhelming desire to be clean. The Father looked on his Son Jesus from heaven right after his baptism and said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Did I sway too far away from your translation? Okay, no, huh? A little bit addition because of the imagination. This is good. I entitled today's sermon, after Pastor Aaron's Walking with Jesus, I entitled it, "A Fruitful Walk." A fruitful walk. A fruitful walk happens when we walk with Jesus. And if you read the message, and I love sometimes to, when I, you know, get a little bit, you know, find it difficult to look at the scriptures and understand, I like to go to Eugene Peterson's The Message and then look through it, and then it gives you a bit of clarification. Eugene Peterson says, it's like God brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. So here what he's talking about is that God gives us the fruits in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The reason why God wants us to bear fruit is found in John 15:8, and it's really good. It says, "It is to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You know, my neighbor, just the one next to us, has got a really fruitful tree. And so since we moved in 8 years ago, it has been giving us really good figs. No worms. Very sweet. We really enjoyed this tree. But recently, this year, in fact, all the fruits were gone for some reason. My grandson said that the birds ate all the figs. But we don't know exactly what the reason is. We examined the one or two fruit this year. We examined the leaves. We examined the branches. But we could not get to the issue of things. What has caused this fig tree not to fruit? I guess my neighbor needs to go to the root issue, because he has got the roots, is in his house, right? Is half the tree hanging to our side. Oh, by the way, we're not taking the fruit just like that. They actually gave us permission, because they don't eat the fruit. They were too old and had the diabetes, I think, so they didn't want the figs. And they say, "Please help yourself." So we had half the tree. We take charge of the half the tree. But they have the problem. And so they need to examine the tree in the roots to find out exactly what is happening internally. So the first principle is this. If you want to have a fruitful walk must begin internally. Pastor Mike Keating, two Sundays ago, preached the whole of my message, and so I'm repeating what he's saying. But there's one quote that he said was very interesting, and I'd like you to look at it. He says, "Man shall not live from what comes externally to his life, but by what God speaks internally to us." So if we want to have a fruitful walk, it actually begins internally. We need to know what is God speaking internally to us. When I ask you about those things that God speaks to you, what are the scripts that God is using to speak to you? Are those scripts love messages that God is speaking to you on a daily basis? Or is God speaking to you hate messages, or you perceive them as hate messages? Or is God making you feel accepted, or is God always censoring you and rejecting you? what is happening internally? What is God speaking to you? My belief is this. You cannot have a fruitful walk if whatever you hear internally from God is all negative and all non-affirmative. Because you will not be able to open yourself up to love when you think that God is all out to get you. You won't be able to go the extra mile because, you know, our value is we want to go the extra mile. You cannot go the extra mile and be kind to other people if you see God as a mean person. See, when Jesus came out of the water, out of the baptism, the first thing he heard was the validating voice of the Father. What did the Father say? The Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I want to say this. I know we have not heard the audible voice of the Father. I always ask the Lord, "Lord, you know, will there be a time when you speak to me audibly?" And I remember one pastor says, you know, you don't want to hear the audible voice of God. You'll be so scared. But anyway, we won't be able to hear the audible voice of the Father saying to you, "This is my Son whom I love. With him or with her, I'm well pleased." But I tell you what, because of the blood of Christ, because of the sacrifice and obedience of Christ, because of Christ, the Father says that to us as well, that we are his sons, we are his daughters, and with whom he is well pleased. Now, this is important, because if you live from the scripts that God is pleased with you, that God has got good scripts for you, then you will form what we call a true identity. The identity that comes from being loved and being accepted. This is fundamental. And this is also very critical because your true identity will give you the depth. The depth to know who you are and the depth to know what you mean to God. And that depth will become the depth of your character. So when we serve Jesus and we have got heart knocks from all over, whether it's our work or our study, we know that we are able to have that character to withstand all that is coming at us. Or sometimes we may be serving and we might not get appraised or appreciated or affirmed. But you see, when you have the true depth of character, when you know who you are to God, when you know who you mean to God, then you will not suffer a spiritual crisis. You will not be joyless. You will not lose your peace. You will not lose your motivation to love. You will not lose your self-control and let yourself go and lash out at everybody, because your true identity is not based on your performance. It is not based on whether you feel good or not. Your true identity is based on what the Father speaks of you. Now, this is very important because a fruitful walk needs to begin internally. And what is internally speaking to you? What is God speaking to you? Because a fruitful walk is not being good enough. It is not being a good person. It is not being a popular person. Before I became a Christian, I thought Christians are all good people. And it's true, we want to be good people. But our true identity or our fruitful walk is not about being a good person or a popular person. It is not about performance. It is about needing the nourishment and the cultivation of God, and where we can hear his voice affirming us. So when the Father affirms the Lord Jesus Christ, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," when we can hear that from our Father and let that affirm us, I tell you what, you will be able to let God develop your character, and therefore it is needful, the character for your fruitful walk. You will walk knowing that you are accepted, that you are loved. So this morning, I really pray that whatever internal scripts that you have from the Father will be one that speaks validation to you, that speaks acceptance to you, that speaks love to you, because then you will be able to have this fruitful walk, knowing who you are, having a true identity. It is very important, because if we don't have a true identity, then we might have an overwhelming sense of our uncleanness, or that we have got to be thoroughly clean before we can approach God. All these are negative, because it comes from a negative mindset of either condemnation, or that God has got very unrelenting standards, that we need to be so clean before we come to God. We are not clean. That's why we come to God. And when we receive the Lord immersed us into the very Spirit of God Himself, baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's how we can live out the fruitful life. The church believes a lot in Bible study. We believe a lot in fellowship. We believe a lot in asking you to seek the Lord on a daily basis. These are all channels for us to be able to cultivate our internal life in the Lord. Because if you want to have a fruitful life, your internal life must know who you really are. It must be grounded. Grounded in the true identity that the Father validates us. That we mean all to the Father. Amen? So that's important. So fruitful life, we need to be having our true identity in the Lord. So daily I pray that we will live by what God speaks internally to you. The second thing is this. The second principle is this, as we look at Matthew 3, is that a fruitful walk is not about image. It's not about image. The frightening fact is this. If we don't live by what God speaks internally to us, and this I'm expanding what Pastor Mike Keating is saying, if we don't live by what God internally speaks to us, we will live from what comes externally to our lives. You will look around, because we are very visual, and then we will look around us externally to form an image. And the way to have that image is to see what people are doing, like these two neighbors are doing, you know. They have the top of the range appliance, the latest model and deluxe edition and so on and so forth. You know, they want to keep an image. If you have got nothing internally to guide you, nothing to ground you, if God is not in your life to give you that true identity, chances are you will look around to see what are the things you want to follow. And so then you conjure an image of yourself which is based on comparison with people, or you have got yardsticks or expectations, or you got visual cues outside of you, or temptations outside of you. And some of these images are very savvy and very highly adaptable, because you know what to do, you're streetwise, but it may not be your true identity as a child of God. And that's what happens. John the Baptist actually singled out the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew 3. He singled out because he could tell by the external appearance of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they were keeping an image. The Sadducees and Pharisees, their religious practice was an external display. When they perfect a law, they would tie something around with the tassel that is in the robe to let everybody know that, hey, look, I've perfected a law. That's why when we were in Israel, I have remembered telling you this story already. We chased this young man because he got about, I think, 10 knots. And we went to him and we said, wow, hey, fantastic. You've got this knots. Tell us about it, you know. He says, yeah, because I kept 10 laws. I said, wow, that's fantastic. He says, no, it's not fantastic. There are many other seniors who kept a lot of laws, which means if we ever spot a senior in the Judaic religion, they will be having a lot of knots around their ropes. It's an external display. So when people count your knots, they can tell how many laws you have kept in the Lord. And that, of course, gives you the sort of the credibility that you have been able to keep all those X number of laws. So the Sadducees and the Pharisees, for them, their practice is really an external display, external appearance. When they fast, they let everybody know. If you go to the market and you see a Pharisee and a Sadducee in the marketplace, and if they are fasting, you know. Why? Because they will put ashes on their head and then they will cry and mourn and shout. You will know. In fact, we have some of the really religious people at the airport. You know, they had sideburns and were very traditional Orthodox Jews. And they will be at the airport, you know, bowing, bowing, bowing. We will be like, you know, finding out, you know, where to go for 7-Eleven breakfast, you know. They will be like bowing, bowing. It's very, very external. Everybody knows that they're pious. Everybody knows that they're religious. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees were very external in the way they practiced their faith. And they don't help Samaritans because it's beneath them. That's why the Pharisee did not help the Samaritan who was not, well, it's beneath them. They don't want to dirty themselves with impure people and unclean things. And of course, they can fool the common people, but God does not look at the external. It cannot fool God. In fact, cannot even fool John the Baptist in this case. Because if you remember what the Lord did with the sons or the brothers of David when he was trying to anoint the king, first passed this guy with good looks and very tall. Sometimes, you know, the image, if you've got good looks and very tall, you tend to think very well of them. That's because we are in a world where we celebrate height and celebrate good looks, isn't it? You see a lot of Hollywood movies. Are they attractive? Of course. They went through a lot of interviews and auditions. And they get the best because they want to project the best image, right? And Eliab, the eldest son of Jesse, went past Samuel the prophet. And Samuel the prophet said, God, this is the guy, tall, handsome, good looks. This will be the king of Israel. And God says, no, I don't want Eliab. The Lord does not look at the things people look at, he says. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And finally, the Lord saw David. Now, David was also handsome. Bible tells us he's very handsome, ruddy countenance. But the difference is that his external and his internal are both very attractive in the Lord. Why? Because his external is very attractive, but his internal, he is a man with a shepherd's heart. And God saw that shepherd's heart. And God says, I like that man to be the king of Israel. And true enough, David shepherded the people with a heart of integrity. See, the Sadducees and the Pharisees put up an image of themselves, and sometimes it's really hard to upkeep that reputation because you then need to observe more and more laws until the whole religion becomes a drudgery. That's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees were doing. There is no joy, no freedom, no life in spirituality, yet they were the most religious, but there's no life. They're out in the market to look for people. They are either more religious than them and then they go and follow, or look at those that are less religious than them and despise them. There is no life in it. Everything becomes like a showmanship. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were only showmen. And they don't even want to be baptized. If you look at Luke 7, 29 to 30, they didn't want to be baptized. They rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. They don't want to be baptized. They want to appear religious. They don't want to go through all the acts of faith. See, fruit is not achieved by working or showmanship or performance. Fruit is birthed by abiding. And the Bible tells us that when we abide in the vine, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will bear much fruit. So I have an appeal as a church. Don't be too concerned with the external, how people see you or how you compare with other people or what's the most right thing to do in public or how to portray yourself in the best image. It's very tiring to keep up with appearances, to be in control of everything, to know everything, to be an expert. It's really, really tiring. I think I'm speaking like a 63-year-old now. Couldn't care less what people think. When I was younger, I used to really, you know, try to have that image of a teacher, of a person, of someone who... Now it's like, oh Lord, just help me follow you. And this is not showmanship anymore. This is really being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a fruitful walk, if you want to be fruitful, is something internal. Know what the Lord wants to speak to you, and the words that God used on you will be validating. And then, you know, not everything is about the external. And here John the Baptist in Matthew 3 share with us the secret of a fruitful walk. The secret of a fruitful walk. And it is this. A fruitful walk is about the influence of one person in the Godhead. And that is the influence of the Holy Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit. And here in Matthew 3, 11 and 12, it says, John the Baptist says, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance. So John the Baptist knew his limitation. He says, I'm only the baptizer. I baptize you only with water. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Tell you what, there is wheat and there is chaff in our lives. And sometimes we have blind spots. We don't know where the wheat is. We don't know where the chaff is. Only the Holy Spirit can come and help us understand or discern or distinguish where the wheat is and where the chaff is. And he doesn't just divide. He removes the chaff from us. He says when there's too much chaff and your life becomes not fruitful, then he will remove. He will remove the impurities in our life. The dross in our lives will be burned up. The refiner's fire, the Lord Jesus Christ, refiner's fire cleanses us. And so the secret of a fruitful life is to have the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, and when do you have the Holy Spirit? Let me say this from the very onset. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He already gives you the deposit of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and today, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ already, the Holy Spirit is within you. His fire, the Lord Jesus' fire, is in you to help your life to be distinctly different. So when He asks you to be salt and light, it's not like you've got to go and do it all with your own efforts. Of course, you've got to put in some work, you know. But it's not going to be your effort, because the Holy Spirit will help you. He will be the one who can separate the wheat and the chaff, and those that are not fruitful to your life, unproductive in your life, He will remove them. This is going to be the influence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. And He reaches deep inside you, and He's able to cleanse our hearts and our minds so that we will be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with a true identity and also with great freedom. That makes us the happiest people. We are free in the Spirit, free from all the dross and impurities. That's what the Bible tells us. And the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not like some, you know. Last time when I was a young Christian, Holy Ghost, I'm scared, you know. Very scared. You thought in some spirit. Huh? The Holy Spirit, He will come and He will guide you. He's the best counselor. He come and reach out to us. He encourages us. And the best thing about the Holy Spirit until today, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Because the Holy Spirit has a voice. He's not some entity that is objective and cold. He is a person in the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, impart to you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes with fire to burn up those things that are not fruitful so that you can walk this life worthy of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exciting! But how do we do it? Matthew 3 has the answer. Matthew 3 says the way to do it is through repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. And Pastor Mike says it so well, but I'm going to repeat it to you in case you forget what he said the last time. To repent is to have a change of mind. I say that again. To repent is to have a change of mind. I'm going to say this as well, that it's not only a change of mind, it must have an action. So a change of mind plus action. Repentance is not a feeling word like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and then not doing anything about it, or having no change in behavior. It's not a feeling word. Repentance is an ongoing thing where when we are told that this is not something that is going to be making you fruitful, that you will have a change of mind, and then you follow it up with an action. Now, the fruitfulness that John the Baptist was trying to wish for the Sadducees and the Pharisees when he says that you need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance has nothing to do with fruitfulness of works and service. Because usually we think of, you know, how fruitful a person is. We think, you know, how much has he served the Lord? How much ministry is he involved? What ranks have he or she gone up in the church? It's not about fruitfulness of works and service. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're already very notable for their impeccable works and service. You go by the knots on their robe, it's like they already have it all. Knowledge, keeping the law, everything is all already with the Sadducees and Pharisees. He's not talking about that. He's talking about how much are they like the Lord Jesus Christ? He's not even talking about Christian heritage, because the Pharisee says, you know, we are the children of Abraham. So Abraham is our cover, is our shelter, you know. And we are definitely given a ticket to paradise because we are children of Abraham. The fruitfulness is not from the Christian heritage. The fruitfulness that you have right now is not because your parents or your grandparents have been Christians for a long time. It's not. Because if it is, then the Pharisees would not need to embrace Christ, because they have Abraham as their father. That's what Matthew 3 is telling us. But instead, John the Baptist was asking, how much are they really like Jesus? How can the Holy Spirit and the fire make the Pharisees and the Sadducees more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, kinder, full of goodness, gentler, more faithful, and more self-controlled? So the world, you know, rate the happiest people in different ways, whether they are given good shelter and a sense of freedom and safety. For us, our fruitfulness, we are the happiest people when we are more joyful, more loving, more peaceful, and more full of the fruits of the Spirit. So down here, the fruitfulness is talking about how much do we resemble the Lord by displaying the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. This is very important because that's your internal condition. Nobody can tell. Some of these fruits of the Spirit, I mean, some fruits can be told because they are quite external by people. But a lot of these fruits are internally. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and help us bear these fruits because it is to the Father's glory. The Father is very pleased when we bear these fruit. Confession time. Okay. I was awakened to this very harsh reality because, you know, I was reading an article recommended by someone, and I realized that from that article, I was playing an expert in grandparenting. And it's not very helpful to the people around. So yeah, the truth really hurts, right? This is really like, ouch. And when I'm confronted with this, I could actually say, well, I don't have this problem. Or it's not my problem, you know? If you think I'm an expert and you are affected by it, you know, it's not my problem. I could do all that, you know? But, you know, we are asked to have the fruits of the Spirit, and we are asked to go to the Holy Spirit for guidance and for His influence. And so I consulted the Lord about this matter. And of course, the Holy Spirit has a voice. And He loves to speak, and He loves to guide, and He loves to encourage. I realized that in being very protective of my grandchildren, I was actually quite hard on Henry. Henry could have carried them this way, or Henry could have fed them that way, you know. And all that sort of a musing inside here, and all that sort of a thing can go into a bit of a murmuring, and then can be massive attack. And I was becoming actually quite negative about that, because, you know, I was protective, and I thought there is one way. Even though we both became grandparents at the same time, so I mean, we are not even like, you know, one above the other or more trained than the other person. And so I repented that I thought of myself too highly, that I was playing this very proud expert. And it's like that. In our lives, and I'm concluding very soon because I'm giving you a real story of my life. In our lives, there are many things that we need to be aware of that may not be making us fruitful. In this case, I was losing my self-control, losing my patience, and that grieves the Holy Spirit, of course, and I need to repent of them and to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to be humble, to accept that there is a Kara way, that's true, but there's also a Henry way. There's also many other people's ways. And I cannot, because of my protectiveness of my grandchildren, come across as not being fun and come across as being picky and losing my cool. See, Holy Spirit needs to do work in us. We need to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Aren't we glad that we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit still speaks to us even though we are at this age where we should know better? But the Holy Spirit is still trying to influence us because He wants us to glorify the Father. He wants us to bear much fruit in our life. The refining fire of the Lord wants to come and remove bad attitudes. I tell you what, we have bad attitudes. It's true. When I was doing relief teaching, I was shocked. I was so condemning of the disciples in the Bible, you know, they were calling on fire to burn the people. I was so condemning of them. But when I actually went to relief teach, and the kids really, really annoyed me, I tell you what, for that moment, I called for fire, you know. We really need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The refining fire of God needs to come and remove some of these bad attitudes and behavior. We need to hear the counsel of the Lord concerning us. And with the help of God, we really need to repent and to reform, to change our mind and to change our action. One of the things I read about the Ashbury revival, you know, when the Lord revived the people in America in Ashbury at the university, it was not like, wow, Holy Spirit, fill me with fire. I'm going to conquer the world and, wow, bring the gospel to such and such a place. Of course, the Holy Spirit can do that. Of course, of course. But one of the things when they were revived by the Holy Spirit is, oh God, I've got an anger issue. Forgive me. Oh God, I've been so mean. Forgive me. God, I've been so weak. Forgive me. There are three things in our lives we need the fire of the Lord to refine us. One is our rebelliousness. The other one is our ignorance. And the third thing is our weaknesses. We need the Lord to come and say, oh God, that is so ignorant of me. Please forgive me and help me move on. Oh God, that is so rebellious of me. I knew your word. I knew you asked me to do this, but I don't know why I'm still doing it. Oh God, forgive me. Or it could be your weakness. Day in, day out, you do the same thing. I'm sorry. You're still doing it. Because you're weak. we need to ask the Lord to say, come, fire of the Holy Spirit, come and take away the dross, take away the chaff, take away that which is unclean so that we can be fruitful in the Lord. See, the fruitful walk will only be the result of your decision to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And we so need the Holy Spirit. I know this is a chapter that we have been reading and reading, but this is what I felt is very important, that if we want to have a fruitful walk, if we want to produce fruit in keeping with our faith, we need to repent and reform and ask the Lord to give us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, then you will be glorifying the Father, and then you will be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I love that for you, and I love that for me. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. A fruitful life begins internally. And even as Jesus heard the validating voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased," the Lord say that to you as well. But if it is a lot of accusing messages in you, you need to repent and ask the Lord, "Lord, oh God, forgive me if I'm hearing all these very harsh words from you. Help me to be able to remove them with the help of the Holy Spirit." And a fruitful life is not about image. It's not about keeping up appearances. It's really very tiring to keep up with appearances. And God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit so that we can live our life with great love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And being fruitful is about letting the Holy Spirit come and do a greater work in your life. And one of the ways you can do is to really repent, change your mind, have a course of action, and say, "Oh dear Lord, I can't do this on my own. Oh God, would you come and do something with me and something in me and something for me?" Hallelujah. Let the word speak to you. God speaks to you a better word. Let the Lord speak to you. And just speak to your Father. "Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Father, we so desire to be that fruitful tree, that fruitful life. But Lord, there are sometimes chaff in our lives, Lord, that are just in the way. Holy Spirit, reveal those areas of ignorance to us, or areas of weakness to us, or areas of rebelliousness to us, so that, Lord, we can ask you and to remove them, oh Lord. Father, we just pray you give us a change of mind. Help us not to live the same way, dear Lord, because that can be quite fruitless, quite unproductive. This morning, Lord, even as we hear your word comes to us gently, sweetly. Because God, you want us to be that fruitful vine that abides in you. So Lord, we ask you to speak to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Change our mind, Lord. Holy Spirit, give us an action that we can do to substantiate the fact that, Lord, we have heard from you and that we are truly sorry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I speak to the heart of Grace City Church that internally, oh God, we want to hear the validating voice of the Lord. And externally, oh Lord, we want to hear that word and be able to bear fruit. That as a church, oh Lord, we truly will be an influence to Perth and beyond. It will not be a showmanship. It will be the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in us showing forth. So Lord, today we thank you for your word, dear God. Change us, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kara, for sharing the word. I'd just like to encourage us just to ponder before we respond to the Lord in the worship song, just to ponder. There was just this thought that came to my mind as I was sitting there, as just listening to Pastor Kara giving the summary itself. Very often we like to think that the message is for somebody else. And perhaps the message is somewhere out there, and that somebody out there needs to repent, and that this whole concept and notion of repentance is just a concept, and the repentance is just out there. I'd like to invite us to bring it back home to us. And I'd like us to just consider this. The reason why the Holy Spirit would speak to us, and the reason why the Holy Spirit will prompt us and convict us, it is not to set us on a guilt trip. The Holy Spirit does not have the objective of setting us on a guilt trip. The Holy Spirit does not have the objective of condemning us. The Holy Spirit does not have the objective of making us feel small. Instead, the Holy Spirit is there with us to empower us to live in the freedom and in the life that God has originally meant for us to live. To be the people whom He has called us to be the people who He has originally intended for us to be. And so, I'd like to invite us to respond to the Lord. This morning, I believe, as I was sitting there, that there are people amongst us who have already heard the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And there are already areas in our lives that we know that we need to give, and we need to submit, and we need to surrender. Would you do that? I'd like to invite us, would we do that this morning? And allow Him to work in us and through us. Amen? Yeah? Can we stand? Yeah. Can we stand? And let's respond to the Lord with this worship song.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence is my life. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Be Thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be Thou my dignity, Thou my delight, Thou my soul's shelter, Thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. High King of heaven, after victory won, may I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
Shall we lift our hands for the benediction? May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. May He enlighten the eyes of your heart, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might. May the Holy Spirit empower each of us to be more like Christ, to manifest a greater measure of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that Christ Jesus may be revealed and glorified in and through each of us. Amen. Amen. Blessed Sunday. Join us for a time of fellowship after service.